The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
You're listening to the Pastor Scott Show podcast. Have any questions or comments? Email Pastor Scott now at PastorScott@KKLA.com or tune in live weekdays from 3 to 5 p.m. And now, here's Pastor Scott.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Pastor Scott Show. Great to be with you as we are each and every day from 3 to 5. It's Passion Week 2024. We're headed up to Easter, and it's great to have you with us. Each day during Easter week, we are taking some time to ask the question, what did people do? What did the disciples do? What did Jesus do on each one of those days? We've got a pretty good idea of what he did on Sunday and Thursday and Friday and Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, of course, but what happened on Tuesday? Today's Tuesday. What did Jesus do? What did the apostles do on Holy Week Tuesday? Great and Holy Tuesday, historically, the church might say. Here to talk about it with me is Pastor Steve Wilburn. Pastor Steve Wilburn is the pastor of Core Church Los Angeles and also the host of Core Truth Radio, which can be heard weekdays at 5:30 p.m. right here on KKLA 99.5. in L.A. and on your favorite radio app. Pastor Steve, great to have you with us.
Man, Pastor Scott, it's always good to be here with you.
Yeah, well, you know, I thought this is a great topic for you. What happened on Tuesday? Because, you know, what did they do? Did they go out to breakfast that morning? You know?
Well, I like it. Jesus had another full day of ministry, you know, there on the southern steps, you know, leading up to the Temple Mount and what have you. But on the way back, you know, the disciples decide to ask, you know, Jesus a question. So this is Jesus giving an answer to the disciples, because what brought it all on is they said, like, look at the temple. So they're already over across the Kidron Valley now, and they're up on the Mount of Olives, okay? Now, this is where he gives the Olivet Discourse. So this would be like Matthew chapter 24, you know, Luke 18, 19, whatever, you know. So, you know, so you have the disciples saying, it all got started with, look at the temple, look how beautiful it is. And the temple that Herod had built, that's the rebuilt temple, not the original one from Solomon, but this is the rebuilt temple from Herod. It was like one of the wonders of the ancient world. So, I mean, it's one of the most beautiful things on planet Earth. In the midst of Rome and the Colosseum and all of that, this temple was absolutely stunning on the Temple Mount. And so they're looking like, look at this. And then Jesus says, not one stone will be left upon another. So here he is prophesying, because 37 years later, Rome came in, conquered Jerusalem, killed a million Jews, and destroyed the temple. And the Jews themselves had set it on fire, and all the beams inside were covered with gold. So the fire had melted the gold. It leaked down in between the stones, the foundation stones. So the Romans took it completely apart, stone by stone, just like what Jesus said, to extract the gold. So this is what brought on the conversation. So then the disciples said, oh, like, we weren't expecting to hear that. Okay. So he said, well, what's going to be the signs of the end? And so again, you know, Jesus said, you know, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars and all of these things. But he gives a warning, and he says it multiple times. He says, beware that no one misleads you.
Yeah.
Deceives you, lies to you. And here we are in the last days, and what are we seeing? We're like lies personified. You know, I think back a few years ago with the whole COVID thing and how politicians wanted to just rule our lives and have that power and authority over every human being. And so anything that went against what the government was telling us was what? Misinformation. Remember, this is a new word that was interjected.
There was
now
no room for, this is what we think, but maybe we're wrong. Maybe those guys are right. There was just, no, everybody's wrong, we're right.
Exactly.
And you know, there was deception, whether it was deliberate or accidental.
That's right.
Massive deception. And we have that now with a political year, right?
Well, that's what kicked it off. Right? Yeah. Exactly. It's like, that's what kicked it off. Like how many times do we hear this term all the time, misinformation, before that? It's like this whole new thing. And so we learn now, as we look back, like what they were saying was misinformation was truth. And what they were saying was truth was misinformation. But Jesus says it three times. He's like, beware that no one misleads you.
Yeah. You know, I think that one of the things, we live in a time now where lots of people are saying, is this the end times? You know, are we in the final, is Jesus coming back tomorrow?
Yes.
Those kinds of things. And that's what the disciples asked. You just said, we're going to destroy that. That temple's going to get destroyed. Well, this must be the end of the world. What are the signs? And Jesus says, don't be deceived.
That's right.
That's the same thing we should take on today.
Exactly.
Don't be deceived, because maybe this is the end, but maybe it's not.
That's right. Well, and we look around and, you know, people say, you know, is this the end? Well, I remember in 1988, they had a book that came out, 88 Reasons Why Jesus is Coming Back in 1988.
Right.
And whenever anyone says, oh, Jesus is coming back this year or next week or whatever, you can pretty much be guaranteed he's not coming back on that day or
right.
whatever. But of the season, of the times, we can know. And that's what he details here in Matthew 24. It's like when you see these things happening, and there has never been, quote, misinformation and misleading and deception and lies at the level that it is now. I mean, you know, here, I mean, just in the government, you sit there and you have the press secretary telling you there's no problem at the border and the border is secure. And you're like, hello?
And for 3 years, and right. now everybody recognizes that that is a actual problem.
Yeah, exactly. And only 8 to 10 million people have come in. And you're just like, but the point is, like, they're telling us lies, like, right to our face when you're seeing, like, they're saying that this is not red, it's white, and you're looking at a red wall, you know? Mm. They're like, what? You know, and it's so bad that you're just like, who believes this? But obviously there's many people that believe it. They say that the crime is down. You know, it's like, crime's not down. Just, you know, I'm part of the LAP, I'm a LAPD chaplain. Just crime's not being reported like it used to be reported. You know,
yeah.
a lot of people don't even call in anymore.
But it's if not you decriminalize things, then right. then the same actions are no longer crime, so the statistic goes down.
Yeah, exactly.
Or if you don't prosecute, there's so many different things. So right. these are signs that we're seeing today. This is one
yeah,
of the reasons
right.
that today people think this might be the end. That yes. plus Matthew 24, Jesus says that nation will rise against yeah. nation. There will be wars and rumors of wars, and we're seeing that.
Earthquakes, you know, all
of
these
of
regular
stuff.
Famines.
Yeah.
And here we are, you know, in this modern world, and there's still massive famines that are going on in Africa, you know. So it's
yeah.
like, it's amazing that we're still seeing these things. And Jesus said, but when you see these things, just know that the Son of Man is close, you know. And one of the prophecies in Matthew 24 talks about, you know, the fig tree, which the fig tree in the scripture is Israel. And it says the rebudding of the fig tree. Now, there's some Bible scholars that believe that that's the rebirth of the nation Israel, because, you know, here Jesus was prophesying that Israel is going to be ransacked, you know,
yeah.
here in Matthew 24, and it happened 37 years later. And then who would have thought that 1878 years after that Israel would be born again. It would,
right.
I mean, it would come alive again. I mean, May 14th, 1948, Israel has become alive again. And so they said the generation of people, they see that, will see the coming of the Lord. Does that mean that, you know, people that witnessed that birth, you know, would see? I don't know for sure. Some have, you know, dissected that as that. But one thing for sure, in Matthew 24, it tells us to be ready. He says,
yeah.
be ready for the coming of the Son. No man knows the day or the hour. So we don't know exactly when it's going to come, but we know the season, and we see that season happening now. And he says, be ready. And that term be ready means be prepared to do something. So, like, what should we be doing? Well, and as believers, I mean, here we are coming up to one of the greatest events of all of human history, okay? And really, it's the greatest event. I mean, you know, people say, well, what's greater, Christmas or Easter? Well, you know, the birth of Christ. If you don't have the birth of Christ, you don't have Easter. So,
right.
I mean, they're both pretty, you know,
pretty big deal.
They're big deals. But really, the greatest event was Good Friday, what we call Good Friday. And it was
yeah.
a really bad Friday for the Lord, because as it says in Isaiah 53, that he came to be led as a lamb to the slaughter for the sin of the people.
Hmm.
And it pleased the Father for that to happen. And Jesus came to die. The creator of the universe came down, lived as a human being to die for his creation. The creator dying for his creation. And that's what happened on Good Friday. And then, of course, on Resurrection Sunday, he rose again from the dead. And that's what promised us what has become one of my favorite verses in the Bible now, John 11:25, where he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though they die, yet they shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. And then he said, do you believe this? It's like, well, yes, I do. Because, and then some believers will say, well, no, Uncle Fred, he was a Christian and he died. I saw him die. It's like, no. His body died. But for the believer, that spirit never dies. It goes immediately. As soon as that body takes its last breath, the spirit goes into the presence of God immediately.
Right. You're listening to the Pastor Scott Show, and this is our Tuesday edition of our Passion Week program, What Happened on Tuesday. And on Tuesday, the Olivet Discourse, we're talking about that, Jesus talking about the end times and what will be signs and how we should not be deceived. My guest is Pastor Steve Wilburn of Core Church Los Angeles. Steve, as you're talking about that, some of our listeners, they're not believers at all, or maybe they have other faiths. A lot of people, I think, are on the fence who listen, right? Who are, you haven't been to church for a while. Maybe you go on Easter, or you go Easter and Christmas, so you're familiar with those two church days. What you just described about Jesus being the resurrection and the life, and the idea that we, our souls will live for eternity, that there will be resurrection of us, you know, all of this stuff, new heaven, new earth, no more death, no more sadness. These are the promises for everybody who believes in Jesus. I think some people would respond and they would say, you know what, Steve, I wish that were true. That sounds really good. I wish that were true, but I'm not too sure. I think what happened on Tuesday and what Jesus talks about, the signs of the end, and we should pay attention to that right now because it's our clues that this is for real.
Yeah. Well, you know, I everyone has their opinion. People can believe whatever they want to believe. But in this case, if you're believing something different than what Jesus said, it's like you're wrong. And people don't like to hear that. Like, what do you mean I'm wrong? Are you saying I'm
wrong? You're not allowed to be wrong today,
But Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to a man or a woman, but its end is the way of death.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is a pretty big deal here. You're talking about your eternity here. And I remember I was a total heathen, didn't want to hear about Jesus. I didn't want to hear about anything. And then I remember someone shared with me, you know, Luke 12:3, and it says, everything that you've said in the dark is going to be heard in the light. And what you have whispered in the inner rooms is going to be proclaimed on the housetops of heaven. It's appointed for every man, every woman to die once. After this comes judgment. And I just remember, and I don't know because I had rejected every Christian person coming to me, talking to me, whatever, up to that point. But that day, for whatever reason, and I just have to attribute this to the glory and the grace of God, because I was an idiot and I didn't have ears to hear. But the Bible, Jesus is always saying, let him who has an ear, let her who has an ear, let him hear what I'm saying to you. And God is saying, you're going to stand before me. You're going to die. One out of every one person dies. You're going to stand before me, and everything you've ever done in the dark and in secret is going to be brought out in the light. And this is why in Revelation 20, the Bible says that when death is brought before the Lord, and you think, well, death is brought before him. Yes. See, you look at every place in the Bible that says the word hell. It's the Hebrew word Sheol in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, except for 12 places, it is Hades. And that's the place of departed souls. Those who died that don't know Jesus as their Savior and Lord, not just, you know, having that relationship like the Doobie Brothers back in the 70s, you know, Jesus is just all right with me. Right. But you literally have a born-again relationship. You've asked Jesus Christ in your heart as your Lord and Savior. It's like if you don't have that, you go to this place of departed souls where that's where your spirit goes. And it's a place of mild torment. And you wait there. And I love what God said, you know, back in, I believe it's Deuteronomy 19, correct me if I'm wrong here, but he says, you know, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. He says, choose life that you may live. So, you know, here's God in this compassion that he's speaking to Moses here to write this down. He says, you know, choose life. You know, don't choose death. And you think, well, what does that mean, choosing life? And he goes on in the next verse, in verse 20, and he says that you would love the Lord God, that you would obey his, you know, his commandments, you know, his, you know, the things that he's instituted, that you would do what his word says to do. And so God is like, I want you to come to know me. I want to have a relationship with you. That's always been God's desire because he's the one that created us in his image. So humanity is created in the image of God. And you think, well, then Jesus came and died for the sin of humanity, then we're all saved. No. He did die for the sin of all humanity. It's what separates me from a Reformed theologist, because I believe he died for the sin of every single person. 8 billion people on planet Earth, if they all repented today, they would all go to heaven. But you have to appropriate his sacrifice into your life.
Yeah.
And if you appropriate his sacrifice in your life, meaning you have to say, yes, I've sinned. Like, you have to say, I have done things that are wrong. I have not walked with you. And if you're willing to do that, then God will forgive you. I mean, think about that. Think of the magnitude. Like, when I heard that verse of Luke 12:3, that everything that I've done in secret is going to be shouted on the rooftops of heaven, Pastor Scott, that did not send goosebumps down my spine like, oh, that's warm fuzzies, you know? No, it sent shockwaves because I was thinking to myself, you know, I had the appearance of a nice person, but yet I was stealing from my employer. I had a girl pregnant in high school. I was taking drugs. Could you imagine me on speed? I mean, it's a scary thought, but anyway, but you know, all of these things, and I was doing these things, and I was cussing, you know, all of these problems in my life. And yet I'm thinking to myself, if everything in secret that no one else has seen, I'm going to be judged for, I am in deep trouble. And I just knew right there, and I had never gone to church. I didn't know these terminologies, but yet I thought to myself, I'm going to hell in a handbasket.
See, I think that a lot of people, maybe they're not in church, but they have a sense there is an afterlife. There's a sense of that. Every culture in the world has believed that and tried to figure out how to please God. Who's God? How to please him? Jesus came and told us who God is and how to please me.
That's right.
You know, and that's something that I want people to really recognize, that this is true.
That's right.
You know, when Jesus is talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, but also being on Mount Olives, that's where the Bible says he's going to return.
Yes.
And walk back into Jerusalem. And, you know, if you're watching the news, why is Israel a big deal? It shouldn't be. There's lots of conflicts in the world that should affect us.
It's
and
a
everybody.
Big deal.
It's a huge deal.
It's the only city on planet Earth that's called the City of God.
Yeah, and it's a huge deal. Why? Because this is true. Because this message is true. God is real. Jesus came. He died for your sins, and he rose again, and he's asking you to accept that by grace.
Yeah.
You know, there's people listening who aren't believers. There's people listening who are Christians who've left church. They're just not serious about it.
Yeah,
I think that the times, it's good for any of us, because one day we're all going to die, like you said. One of every one person dies, which is a true statistic. There may not be a more true statistic than that. We're going to meet Jesus one way or the other.
That's right.
Either in the clouds, or we're going to wake up to him one day.
Well, we don't have a safe planet right now. I mean, you know, we just watched the Super Bowl, what, a month ago now or whatever it's been, you know, a month and a half ago, you know, whatever. Here we are at the end of March, but, you know, so a month and a half ago. And then there's the celebration, you know, for winning the Super Bowl in Kansas City and what have you. And then some psycho breaks out a gun, kills people.
They ruined it.
Yeah,
right?
He ruined everything. But that's the thing. We live in a culture now that something like that happens every day.
All the time.
Every day.
Something. All the time.
People are dying unexpectedly. Like, no one thought this was going to happen. And so we can't just think like, oh, well, it's not going to happen to me. I mean, well, it happened to those people.
That's right.
And so the point is, you know, Jesus says, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. And if you'll open your heart, I'll come in. And it's like Jesus isn't saying, hey, go to a church and put more money in the offering. He's not saying, hey, jump through some holy hoop here. He's saying, come just as you are. Come with your questions. Come with your problems. Come with your vices. Come with your circumstances that have turned upside down. Come with your prosperity. Come with whatever. Come however you are right now. Just come as you are. He's not going to keep you that way, but he wants you to come.
Steve, what if somebody's listening right now and they're saying, Steve, I want to respond to that. I need the next step. I need to know what to do. What would you tell them?
I would say you need to pray this prayer. And if you're a prodigal son, prodigal daughter, you've walked away from the Lord, you need to come home. You know, repent and Jesus will forgive you. Repent just means stop going your direction, go God's direction. And if you're willing to do that right now, whether you've walked away from the Lord, you've never known the Lord, this is what you pray right now, and God will hear you. He just wants you to pray it honestly. So pray this now. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I'm sorry that I've done things wrong. I need you to help me. Yes, I believe you died for me. I believe they buried you in a grave, and I believe you rose again from the dead. Come inside of me. I give you my heart. Be my Lord. Be my God. Be my Savior. And be my friend. and fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you prayed that or you want more information, you know, what's a good way for people to reach out to you?
Well, they can reach out to me. I would love to be able to put a New Believer's Bible into their hands. And this is the Bible. It's got all kinds of notes on the up front. It's an easy to English. There's notes on almost every page. You can actually email me at bible@corechurchla.com. That's bible@corechurchla.com.
All right, we'll get you a free Bible, and we'll be able to follow up. Core Church is in West L.A.
Yes, on La Cienega in the 10 Freeway. We have three services on Sunday morning at 8:30, 10:30, and 12:30.
And what's the website?
It is corechurchla.org, corechurchla.org.
And if you don't live anywhere where that's really practical for you, we'll help you find a good church to go to where you can grow in your faith. Pastor Steve Wilburn, thanks for being with us today on the Pastor Scott Show.
Amen. Thanks, Scott.
Everybody, that's a big deal for Tuesday and what happened on Tuesday. Hopefully this has impacted your life, and this is the great week for it, to concentrate on what Jesus is doing in our lives and what he's done for each one of us. We'll be back, and tomorrow we'll have what happened on Wednesday. We'll be back as the Pastor Scott Show continues. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Pastor Scott Show podcast. Have any questions or comments? Email Pastor Scott now at pastorscott@kkla.com. Or tune in live weekdays from 3 to 5 p.m. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody. Pastor Scott Show. Great to be with you. And this is Passion Week. It's Passion Week Tuesday. By the way, if you want to rewatch the interview we just did with Pastor Steve, you can do that at kkla.com. Just click on the Passion Week banner, and all of our Passion Week interviews are there. We're doing one every day, asking the question, what happened on that day? So today's Tuesday, and most scholars tend to agree that the what's called the Olivet Discourse happened today, Tuesday, during Passion Week. And if you think about it, it makes some sense. If you want to join the conversation or comment on anything that you just heard from Pastor Steve, the number is 888-528-2557, 888-528-2557. Tomorrow we have another Pastor Steve. That was Steve Wilburn, but we have Pastor Steve Ballantyne tomorrow. And we have each and every day a different interview coming up. So we've got Messianic Rabbi Gary Dereshinsky, and he'll be Thursday, which is just going to be, it's incredible to think about the Passover and the meeting in the upper room and the washing of feet and what would be a Jewish perspective of that today. And I think you'll be intrigued by all of that. Friday, we have Pastor Phil DeCourcy talking about Good Friday. Saturday, Saturday we have Arthur Asadarian from the Apologia Center. He was a great apologist we've had on our show a few times, and talking about what happened on Saturday. You ever think about that? You probably have your church might have a Good Friday service, and you have Sunday, Resurrection Sunday services, and perhaps you have a Saturday night service that's really Easter, and it's the same service, and you know that might be happening. But I bet you don't have anything going on Saturday as far as what happened that day. We're going to have a great conversation. We've got Ed Stetzer. He'll be on for the Sunday program. What we're going to do on Friday is we're going to have all three of those guys, Phil. So Rabbi Gary will be Thursday. But Philip DeCourcy and Arthur Asadarian and Ed Stetzer will all be on this program on Friday, as we were not here on Saturday and Sunday, but they'll be posted online. You can get all of them at kkla.com. And on Monday, we finish up with Pastor Tom Mercer talking about what next. So I'm excited about that. There's some Bible verses online at our website, too, if you want to have a little devotional with these interviews. And hopefully this is a week where we can all use it to grow. So the Olivet Disclosure or the Olivet Discourse, you find that in the Gospels, and it makes sense, right? It's the last week. Jesus is going to die, accomplish this part of his ministry, and he's working with people. There's tension already. The cleansing of the temple, there is already, I think, a murmuring that probably disciples had heard, or they sort of feel the tension that things are turning. It's different than Palm Sunday, where there was celebration and cheering and hosannas and the palm branches. And the conversation turns to, well, tell us about the end times. I mean, if Jesus were here now, would you ask him about that? The funny thing is he'd say, I don't know. Actually, he knows a lot about what's coming up. He doesn't know the time or the hour, but he knows what the end of days are going to look like. And something for us to think about, this is where we talk about the first coming of Christ and what he came to do. It's important to get that right. There are lots of pastors, lots of teachers, maybe just a lot of us out there, we just like the conversation about end times, and you get into the different theories and maybe what's happening. It's very interesting, of course, in the days that we're living in right now. But the second coming of Christ is discussed all of the time. It's not a small topic. It's mentioned once every 15 verses. Do you know that? There are 1,527 Old Testament passages that talk about the second coming. There's actually more in the Old Testament about the second coming than there is in the New Testament. There are 333 Old Testament prophecies about the incarnation of Jesus, 109 about the first coming, and 224 about the second coming. The second coming, he does come with judgment. The second coming, he does come with this end of time thing going on, depending on different views about how that's going to play out. But this was the end. 46 Old Testament prophets, 10 of them talk about the first coming, 36 talk about the second coming. The second coming is mentioned 8 times in the Bible for every time the first coming is mentioned. And Jesus talks about it himself 21 times. So we're challenged 50 times to be ready for his return. Are you ready? You know, that's something that the New Testament is challenging us to do, is to be ready for his return. Now, all of us are going to go meet Jesus sometime within 78 years, depending on how old you are now, right? That's the average lifespan of a person today, is about 78, and give or take. You know, some of you are older than that right now, and congratulations, you've not only beaten the average, but you've beaten your insurance company. So that's good also for you. But we're all going to go see Jesus eventually, whether he returns in our lifetime or not. We're challenged to be ready for that. Are you ready? And really ask yourself that question. You know, the spiritual nature of these prophecies talks a lot about our spiritual place before God. In Mark is one of the longest recordings of basically one conversation where Jesus is talking about the end of days and that things will be troubling. You know, there's a lot of theories about things out there, and we won't get into much of that right now, but some people feel like this has already come to pass because Jesus talked about one generation, which would have been 40 years according to Jewish tradition. And some Christians would believe that AD 70 was the destruction of the temple and of Israel as a nation, and it's profound how accurate Jesus' prediction of that temple and every stone being unturned, you know, as we talked about, happened. It's exactly what happened. It's amazing. But, you know, with many prophecies in the Bible, when you look at it, there are recurring events that appear to be fulfillment, but there are usually details that don't get done. So that's how you know that wasn't it, right? Is there an eclipse? I think there's an eclipse on what? 2 weeks from Monday, April 8th. You know what? You want to know what that eclipse means biblically with respect to prophecy? Let me tell you what it means. Nothing. It's not going to fit. That, you know, one day there might be darkness and an eclipse that is tied in with everything, but there are eclipses happen all the time. It's something in nature. It's how things are made. And some people go, every time there's a solar eclipse, people start to think this could be it, but you have to have all of the other pieces together. And we do this a lot, and it causes us problems to start to speculate about the second coming. And especially when we decide, no, this is it. For 2,000 years, everybody who has said this is it has been wrong. And that discredits us. That's not what Jesus tells us to do, right? He tells us to be careful not to be deceived. You know, see, if the end time is coming, it's our job not to predict it, but it's our job to be prepared for it. See, it's not our job to predict all the details of the end times. The reason I think that we have so much prophecy that is in symbolism in that way is because we're not meant to know every detail. The last generation will need to know, and they're going to look at that symbolism and go, oh, that's right now. And it's going to be very clear. It's not going to be ambiguous. It's not going to be, well, maybe that means no. They're going to know. For us, it's super helpful that we have this because we know that the end is coming. We know that Jesus wins. We know that our faith will not be in vain, that God is going to keep his promises and that there is a plan, and the plan has been laid out, even though it's symbolic language in so many places. But our job is not to predict all of those things, as fun as it is. Our job is to get prepared and to help other people know Jesus and be prepared, because it's coming. Like I said, it's coming for all of us at some point. This is the Pastor Scott Show, and we're talking about Passion Week and what happened on Tuesday. So Jesus is, the number is 888-528-2557 if you want to join the conversation, 888-528-2557. So Jesus is giving this sermon. It's called the Olivet Discourse. Usually in your Bibles, there's maybe a headline there that's not actually part of the scripture, but your editors put that in there to note what's happening here. And he takes people and he starts to talk about the end times. And what's the first thing that he says in all of this? You know what he says? He says, don't be deceived. In Mark chapter 13, you probably usually read the Matthew version, which is fine. It's very similar, but I'm going to give you the Mark one here. As Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings. And Jesus responds, do you see all those great buildings? Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. You know, I find that to be an incredibly interesting. And then he begins. So they go to the Mount of Olives, and it's opposite of the temple. Peter, James, and John, and Andrew asked him privately, tell us when will all these things happen? You know, how is this going to be fulfilled? And Jesus says to them in Mark 5:13, watch out that no one deceives you. It's interesting to me that the conversation immediately is started by people admiring these great buildings, admiring the temple. The temple was one of the wonders of the world. Incredible. What that thing was throughout history, what that place was. It's just absolutely, absolutely incredible. And Jesus says, don't get too excited about it. It's coming down. Every stone is coming down. And, you know, I wonder how many of us are tied into so much about our nice buildings in our church properties, the church, you know, as a nonprofit corporation that we're a part of. See, I wonder how many of us, church, we have turned it into something that it's not what it's meant to be. See, that's one of the deceptions. See, in Jesus's time, there was a deception that Jesus is warning about that was already in place, that the structure of faith, it should not bring you comfort. You know, that temple, by the way, was the second temple. The first one was built by Solomon. It was destroyed by the Babylonians. The next one was built by Herod. Yeah, King Herod. He was a great builder. That's what he was known for. History remembers Herod as Herod the Great. And he becomes king of the Jews, okay, appointed there by Caesar. And to please the Jews, he rebuilds their temple. And it's fabulous. Probably not quite as good as Solomon's, but for the, you know, it was 1,000 years later. A little bit better technology. Amazing. But the thing is that history shows us that everything that has building or everything that's institutional, it will change. You know, in our time right now, ministries come and go. I don't know if you've noticed that, but, you know, churches as nonprofit corporations or, you know, parachurch, you know, ministries, they come and go. They don't stay. And one of the deceptions that we have to be aware of, and Jesus alludes to this even back then, is the way we do our faith should not get in the way of what our faith actually means. We have to make sure that we're always focused on the things that Jesus is focusing on. And those are the things that never change. What Jesus did for us, the gospel, the good news, that never changes. The way we do church, how we do church, ministries, different countries, different cultures, we do that all differently. It always changes, but Jesus never changes. This is the Pastor Scott Show. You can call and join the conversation, 888-528-2557, 888-528-2557. You can watch us on Rumble. Look for the Pastor Scott Show on Rumble, and you can watch, you can chat, and be a part of the show that way. We'll be back as the Tuesday edition continues. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Pastor Scott Show podcast. Have any questions or comments? Email Pastor Scott now at pastorscott@kkla.com or tune in live weekdays from 3 to 5 p.m. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody. Pastor Scott Show. 888-528-2557, 888-528-2557. It's Passion Week, and today is Tuesday. What happened on Holy Tuesday? We've been talking about Jesus giving what's called the Olivet Discourse. He's talking about the end of the age. And one of the things he tells us is, do not be deceived. What are some modern deceptions that we have that take us away from the gospel? What's interesting to me is that many of those things that are modern deceptions are also ancient deceptions, that the devil doesn't seem to do things differently because people seem to fall for the same things, right? If it ain't broke, don't fix it, might be the model there. The first one Jesus talks about is the people were very excited about the buildings that were there and how beautiful they were. And Jesus says, hey, Mark chapter 13, you know, these buildings are not it. This is not the faith. It is a deception of faith to think that your beautiful building or your way of practicing your faith is somehow the religion or somehow saves you or is somehow overall important. It's not saying, he didn't say don't have those things, but that's not the faith. You don't need that. You don't need your church. You don't need, you know, if Christianity is ever illegal in the United States, the church will be fine because the church is not your building. The church is you and me. And the church gathering is not a building with pews and an address somewhere with a name out on the sign. The church gathering is wherever Christians are gathered, the ecclesia, the called out ones. It's a shame that in the English language, the word church means the people, but it also means the building. And it's unfortunate that that's what that has happened, because that's not actually the way it should be. There's nothing we can do about that, because that's how things have been translated and communicated for so long. There's other things that Jesus says. Do not be deceived by false Christs. In Mark 13, he says, Jesus said to them, watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and he will deceive many. You know, I am he. There are lots of people throughout history who have claimed to be the Messiah, who have claimed to be Jesus. Did you know that? Let me give you a spoiler alert. All of them are dead, and all of them stayed dead. Every single one of them. None of them rose back again. Simon Bar Kochba, I think was his name. He actually led a military revolt at one point and captured part of Jerusalem for 2 years. Back in history. And this was what a lot of we learned on Palm Sunday, what a lot of people really were hoping for, that Jesus would come as a military leader. And some of those who rejected Jesus because of his death on the cross and his resurrection was because they thought, well, that's not what he's coming for. He's coming to ransom us from captivity of Rome. Well, this guy shows up and he does it. He was called the Son of Stars, but ultimately the Son of Lies. There was a huge war and he was very dead after that, and Jerusalem fell. There's another guy, and there's a list of them. If you go to Wikipedia, there's a whole bunch of them. A whole lot of, there's a bunch of them now. There's a guy in Florida who says he's Jesus. And he's saying he's Jesus for a long time. He's got this following. The funny part to me is that he's gone gray, right? He used to have like this coal black hair, and, you know, now he's, you know, gray. Would Jesus get gray hair if he became an old man? Would Jesus age to become old and feeble in this resurrected body? I think not. This guy's name, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, Sabbatai Zvi, and he was a great rabbinic scholar in the 1600s, and he had 12 disciples. He created great fervor in some Jewish communities in Europe because they thought he's the Messiah, and there was a frenzy in Amsterdam, Venice, and his home of Turkey. He even published prayer books you can get, and it talks about the prayer books that he put out where you could pray to him. One of them says, do thou, O Lord, our God, raise up the horn of David, thy servant, and the radiance of the son of Jesse, thy Messiah. May his majesty be exalted and his dominion established all over the earth. He's talking about praying that to himself. The problem with this guy is that once he was brought before the authorities and given a chance to suffer and die for his followers, he did something else. On September 15th, 1666, this guy was brought before the Sultan in Turkey and given the choice of death or apostasy, and he prudently chose the latter, and he instead put a turban on his head and converted to Islam. That was confusing to his followers, but that's what happened. So you find throughout history, and there are people today who say they're Jesus and who put out a following and take up an offering, and, you know, who might have good teachings, or they take Jesus's love your neighbor teachings and they can get a following for that. And the next thing you know, you're somewhere drinking the Kool-Aid, literally, and that's it for you. People fall for this. Jesus has warned us, do not be deceived. You know, when asking Jesus about the end times, he doesn't get into all of the details. He says the first thing is about don't be deceived. Verse 7, it says, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginnings of the birth pangs. You know, why does this come after the conversation about being deceived? I think it's because during the tough times in our life, when we've got bridges falling down and there's tragedies, when there are earthquakes, when there are famines, when there are wars and rumors of wars, and which is what we have now, right? We have wars. We have rumors that World War III is on its way. We've got all these different things going on. You know, one of the things is don't be afraid. Those things are going to happen. Jesus just puts them out there. This is part of it that's going to happen. But I think during tough times in our life, that's when we're the most vulnerable. And you know, it doesn't say, by the way, that these things will increase. It just says that they're going to happen. And this is only the beginning of the end, all of these things. What we need to do to not be deceived and to not get, I don't know, weirded out by the world events, to not be taken off track, is we've got to know Jesus, know our Bible, what it actually says, seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and be, you know, open to changing your mind, be open to looking in the Bible and seeing the Word of God and changing your mind about what it means and submitting to it. In Mark 13:7, Jesus says, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, don't be alarmed. Such things must happen, he tells us. But the end is still to come. Don't worry about the future. You might be worried about this election. You know, we all have ideas of how we hope that all those things go. You know what? Whatever happens, if your person wins, I promise you at some point it'll be disappointing. That, you know, that's how it's going to go. That's how history always goes. Jesus warns us not to worry. He is always on the throne, no matter what happens. In Matthew, he talks about that. Mark 13:11, he continues, whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say what's given to you at the time. You know, there's the idea that, I look at this in so many ways. Now, he's talking there about persecution and being arrested. I think that sometimes we feel like we don't want, you know, we're afraid about sharing our faith with somebody else or sharing what we're believing because we don't have the words or I'm not articulate enough. Or maybe if you're going to your church prayer meeting and some guy prays right before, you know, everybody else and he's just super articulate, great prayer and all of this. Don't be impressed by that. God's not impressed by the way we articulate our prayers. He's impressed by what's on our heart for what we're praying about. And you might stutter your way through it and actually have the better prayer because God knows what's on your heart in those ways. God's going to give you these words. And you go, keep going through Mark, and it talks about all kinds of different things that matters. But ultimately, it says, keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, is watch. We need to be prepared. It's a fun conversation. I'm a pastor. I know it's a fun conversation to talk about the end times, to take a look at, you know, what's happening with electronic currencies and the moves for New World Order and the moves for, you know, a globalism and this whole idea that one day most people would say, and I would say, that there will either be a one world government or a one world economic system that could easily be run by one person. Right, or a group of people, that's coming. Clearly, the world's headed that way. Technologically, it's headed that way. It might take 100 years or 200 years, but clearly we're going that way, and that would fit right in with the scriptures. You know, when you take a look at what's happening in the Ukraine war and Putin going into Ukraine, and then you read Ezekiel, and you go, gosh, that's really close. Maybe not the same thing, but it's super interesting that countries from the north will invade through what would have to be Ukraine if you're talking about that. All of those things, it's super exciting to talk about it. I think it's verifying of our faith. It gives us confidence. It's fine. But we should not lose track when we think about the second coming of Christ, about why he came the first time. We should be able to articulate that much better. Because your neighbors, your friends, the people that God has put in your relational life, the people that you are going to be the disciple maker for, whether you're ready or not, they need to know that the hope you have for Christ is something that you can speak to them, that you're prepared to give it. That's what we should be prepared for, right? Be prepared to give a reason for the hope we have. How well prepared are you? You know, if you're feeling like you're not very well prepared, use this week, this Passion Week to get well prepared. It doesn't take long. The gospel is not very complicated. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would have eternal life. Read that. Memorize that. Read the rest of the passage. Go to your gospels and study that. Be prepared and prepare your heart. Ask God to prepare your heart. He's going to have you repent. He's going to have you change your mind about something, but he's also going to give you a mission. Do that, and you realize that this life is a great adventure, that this life is fantastic. It's played out for you and given you. God trusts you in this way to serve him with the gifts that you have, with the experiences that you've had, with the redemption that he purchased for you on the cross. Your life is valuable. valuable to him and just as valuable as everyone else's because of what Jesus did on the cross. Use this week to recommit, to be prepared, be ready, because anything's going to happen. It could happen now. It might be after you pass away, but you want to be prepared for that too. I think that's a really good way to take a look at what happened on Tuesday. All right, this is the Pastor Scott Show. Tomorrow we're going to ask what happened on Wednesday. Did you know it's called Spy Wednesday? That's pretty cool, right? Historically speaking, we'll talk about that. We've got Pastor Steve Ballantyne with us. You can get all of our Passion Week videos and interviews. They are at kkla.com right now. Just click the Passion Week banner. You can binge all of them if you want to. It's better than anything on Netflix. I promise you that. We'll be back tomorrow from 3 to 5 on the Pastor Scott Show. Follow me on social media right now, at Pastor Scott Show, on your Twitter, on your Instagram, your TikTok, your Facebook, at Pastor Scott Show. Everybody, God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow night.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.